bed for 2 years, how long does the person actually stay?
The average length of stay, I'd say, is about 21 days.
About 21 days.
Okay. And this is specific to the respite care, not your other programs that you
Correct.
Guys...
And I know I kind of alluded to this before, but when they leave there after the 21 days, does anyone follow up with them to see if they need help or if they assistance in any way?
So what we do, Sheila, is we put together a safety plan. What is your goal the first day that you leave here? What are you going to do? And in that safety plan, they're always encouraged to connect back with us. One of our issues is we only have one staff member per shift. I'm hoping with some additional funds I can at least during the busiest time of the day add a staff member to support them better.
Yeah.
That could maybe help us do something like that, us reaching out instead of the other way around.
And with the, you know, I think with the statement of a single bed for 2 years, I think that makes it sound very singular, but you said the average stay is 3 weeks. So that means on average you're helping 17 people to that bed per year. So over a two-year period, we'd have 34 people that we'd be able to accommodate on an average of a three-week stay. I like the idea of that. You know,
we have 8 beds funded. We have been having a few people come in, Commissioner, on a self-pay basis because it's that important to them.
Mm-hmm.
What this would provide us is 9 funded beds.
Gotcha.
The data about the most important, one of the most important pieces of paper in your thing looks like this. And it is about a 10-year aggregate study about what recovery support has done in Missouri. And you will see that 98% of the individuals involved in recovery supports have not reoffended. 94% have no other further adverse consequences. And 88% remain abstinent. Those are incredible statistics about recovery support. That's not treatment. That's recovery support services, very similar to respite.
So they come to you and ask for help. So, like,
or not entirely.
Not entirely.
We get referrals from Sheriff Daniels,
that's
Cox
my
Health,
question. Thank you.
Probation and parole, family. Self-referrals, you know, they call in housing and other housing providers, whether it be CORE, Standing by the Door, Simmering Housing itself sometimes. They refer someone to us. Cox Health, we work very closely with them.
Well, I definitely think it would be a good use of the funds, and I would hope that if we supported for the 2 years that... If you felt like you could come back and make us aware of how it's working and everything, and then we could look forward for more support would be my thoughts.
I think that isn't the opioid settlement money a 10-year span at this point? I don't know all that data.
There's multiple sections of it that come in, different timelines and different ways the settlement come in. Not all of it is in monetary. Some of it is in supplies for different things. So yeah, there, and some of it has restricted uses, part of it doesn't. So there are multiple aspects to that funding program there.
Well, Simmering Center is a 15,000 square foot building. I would say we occupy about one third of it.
Okay.
So you said there currently is 8 beds,
mm-hmm.
and those are self-funded or those are funded through?
Department of Mental Health.
Okay. And then you said this would just add a 9th bed
mm-hmm.
for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is the process? Is there like a scholarship process? Because if somebody does want to come in and they don't have the funding, they can utilize one of those 8, possibly 9 beds.
Yes.
If somebody comes in and does have the funding, then they can pay to have mm-hmm. an additional bed, or how does that work?
Yes. Yes.
Is there more than the 8 beds if they want to pay for it, or...
Right now, we have 10 beds.
Okay.
2 of them are self-pay.
Okay.
8 of them are funded by the Department of Mental Health. We would now only have 1 self-pay bed. And our beds fluctuate. Sometimes it's 6 women and 2 men. Sometimes it's 4 and 4. But we have 24-hour staff that oversee this part of the building. Okay. When a person comes out of Cox, for instance, we monitor their vitals. We make sure they're stable. If they're out of range, we arrange for transport. You know, we really try and take care of them, in the, especially those first 2 to 3 days. We call those the red band people. They don't go very much without our oversight. As they progress in their recovery, they can use the fitness center at Simmering, go to classes, that kind of thing. It is not just the peer support, but we have a variety of educational opportunities, et cetera.
I'm fine with looking into seeing what options we have available to utilize those funds for. I know, like you said, there's some restrictions on the opioid settlements. So if it qualifies, I'm fine with looking into it. I think we need to do some due diligence and make sure legal's on board and everything else.
Okay.
Yeah, because this would be the first dispersal of the opioid settlement money that will have been done. So we want to make sure we do it correctly. And make sure that things are followed through. It's my personal feeling. Just make sure that all the guidelines are met and we get that dispersal. But I'm definitely not in opposition to it. Just want to make sure moving forward that we handle it correctly.
Right. You know, whatever you need from us about our nonprofit status or whatever we can provide, insurance, I have to provide all that to the Department of Mental Health, so I'm pretty familiar. We have to have a fire report and all of that. So if you need any of that kind of documentation from us, please let us know. Okay.
As I believe I had mentioned, is that we would have to have legal look at this, but in order to do that, commission had to agree for that. So Perhaps if you could meet with Nikki upstairs, and she would give you an idea of exactly what you need, all the information you've given us here. And Nikki's, you know where her office is at, up by the commission office. Okay. It's just upstairs by the commission
office. Just to the left of the recorder's door.
And she would let you know what she needs to present to her attorney.
Well, I'm familiar with each of you in different ways. I really appreciate you giving this some thought. I am hopeful that it can work out for all of us. I think it's... some people say Simmering's one of the best kept secrets in Taney County, but I think it's important that we let you know who we are and that there is a way for the commission to help. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate
you
your service to our community.
If you've got time this morning and can meet with Nikki, then that'll proceed.
All right. Next on our agenda this morning, we have Alice Akers' R&E presentation of claims, and we will reserve the right to go into executive session possibly for legal and personnel. Good morning, sir.
Here that would require executive session, but I'll let you all determine that.
Okay.
Thank you. Oh, this says Dawn on it. You can't have that.
I do not want that one.
It's too much responsibility.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I think the good news I have for you today is we're nowhere near renewal. Unfortunately, our claims have continued to tick up. If you recall, last year we were just cruising along, having a great year, and then right at the end we kind of spiked up a little bit. That's continued. We have some claims that are coming in, several people on the shock loss report, so this is just part of our service model with you guys to come in once a quarter and just kind of let you know. So these claims are basically the last fiscal year. So the bad news is that these will be part of your renewal. The good news is, if you remember, the current year counts for 70% of the weighting when they calculate your renewal. The year prior is 30%, so that's basically what this represents. It's pretty tough, but that being said, hopefully, you know, we'll have some time to go and clean up. If we just turn the page into the first part of the report, you'll see something that we have continued to see with all of the groups in and around Southwest Missouri, nationwide as well, is that inpatient service, which used to be well over 50% of the cost on an average basis, has now spiked to, on this report, it's right at 66% for outpatient services. And that's just because there's so many different things they can do now where you don't have to go inpatient. They can do a lot of procedures where they didn't used to. They put you in the hospital for several days. Now they just come in, and it's less than 24 hours. And so that is true for you guys and really true for everyone. Emergency room utilization looks to be excellent. You're under 1% of your total spend, and it's one of the things that we look for on this piece. So your people are using the plan in a good way, either using urgent care or going to the doctor's office. There's the e-visits now that people can use that continue to see more and more. With the pandemic, you know, those really didn't take off, but with the pandemic, everybody got used to talking to a computer screen. So that's become more of a thing. The second page is just a graphical representation of a lot of what's on the first page. So if you like pictures, that's a better one. The third page goes into your medical claims by month. You can see that we've had an uptick in those claims, for a total of $2,715,000. The next page shows your prescriptions. Prescriptions for you guys are running pretty average at 22.5% of your total spend. Whenever I first got in this business, scripts were 8% or so of total spend. Of course, that's been 30 years ago. But that being said, prescriptions continue to be a higher and higher percentage of the cost of your medical care. And you guys are pretty well right in line at 22.5% now. Your total claims then are $3,505,000. Unfortunately, our billed premium is $2,580,000. So that gives us a loss ratio of 135.86% for the calendar year, which is obviously not great. As you know, you do have insurance within your insurance, so any claims over $100,000, then they pool those out and they don't count against you, so I did the calculation for that. Your adjusted loss ratio, taking that into account, is 110.72%. So we're still running a fever, but it because of the insurance within it, it's not as bad as it otherwise could be, and we'll hit the shock claims here at the end of the report. The next page just shows what's actually been paid as adjustments are taken by your staff here. The next page are just all of the different diagnosis codes. The piece on that page that you have to keep in mind is that could be one or 10 or however many people. So it's just a diagnosis code, so it's not an individual. It is a diagnosis which could include multiple people. We've had some back issues that have hit us. We've had some stroke type activity that has hit us, heart failure, aneurysm, and then some different cancers, pancreatic, colon cancer down here I saw earlier, another heart attack, that kind of thing. So it just kind of seems to be across the board, we're just seeing a little more activity in regard to claims activity. The next page goes through your top drugs. You will recognize many of your top drugs as the ones that you see advertised on TV. All right, so you've got Otezla, you've got Humira, Ozempic is on there. That's one that we've got our eye on. Cox does have a pretty rigorous program for that. That's the one that has now been tied to weight loss. And so a lot of people are wanting to use that for weight loss, but the industry is still trying to get their bearings in regard to the value and the efficacy of the drug. It's really supposed to be around diabetes and that kind of thing, but people are using it for weight loss. I don't know where that will land. It will either be approved for weight loss and people will be able to take it. If we do, the numbers are fairly astounding, what the cost could be for everybody, you know, that is has a weight issue to then be put on one of these type. It wouldn't have to be Ozempic. There's several of these different drugs. But one of the cost factors in Medicare particularly